Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
See, what Satan couldn't understand, because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. How could God get into a sinful earth? There's no way. Never thinking in their wildest dreams, I'm talking about the devil, that God would send his son. And I want to talk this morning about the revelation that destroyed Satan's plan. It was revealed to him, and he did not know it. I'm going to say some things that you're going to have to go study and meditate on, but this came directly from the lips of the Lord in one of my conversations with God. So naturally, I've got to start with Matthew chapter 28. So if you don't mind, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 28. We're talking about the resurrection here real quickly. And I want to read this, and I'm going to be reading some scripture here. Then I'm going to go over some other scriptures that I want you to see this. A lot of people don't realize how much Satan did not know. Because when he was Lucifer, God created Lucifer. Lucifer created Satan. Think about that for a minute. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. So he knew something about the anointing. Very, very aware of what the anointing is. And the reason why it was so beautiful, he would go over and go above God, spread his wings out, the anointed cherub, and the Shekinah would hit him. And all the angels would look and say, "My, look how beautiful he is." Because there's the Shekinah lifting off of the Spirit of God that would hit his wings and things of that nature. It's really an amazing thing. So in Matthew chapter 28, I want to read verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, how'd you like to be called the other Mary? Or the other Terry? Or the other George? One time when we got born again, me and Kathy, it was amazing. We didn't even have no Pentecost, nothing. We were raised Catholic. And we went to this Pentecostal church, and they looked at Kathy and called her Sister Jessie. Oh, no. She said, "My name is not Sister Jessie. My name is Catherine." You understand that? Well, Kathy. They only called her once, Sister Jessie. And I wish I could give you the look on her face that you wouldn't want to see it. And I think the people thought, "I hope they don't come to this church, because this woman will get straight with you." The other Mary, that's something, isn't it? To see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Notice this. He took the stone that was holding Jesus and made a pulpit to proclaim the gospel. See, you got a problem, sit on it. And proclaim the gospel from it. That's exactly what that angel did. So much revelation here. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. That's pretty strong. And that's just an angel. Can you imagine what God would do? And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Notice that. "And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." So the Protestant people believe in the resurrection. The Catholic people believe in the resurrection. And Jewish people believe in the resurrection. See, if you look at that, especially the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't. And, you know, every church has some kind of homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological differences. Not God. He just says it and it is. Amen. Now, the title of this message is the revelation that destroyed Satan's plan. When this happened, it blew the socks off of Satan. He realized he was in major trouble. And I want you to go with me right now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is Romans, Corinthians. That'll help you for you people that don't read the Bible. You'd be surprised how many people don't read the Bible. They let the preacher read it or study it and try to get what they can from it, and you'll be blessed. 1 Corinthians, let me get here real quickly, chapter 2. I want to read verse 1. And I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Just read all you need to know. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, most people would never say that, but the Apostle Paul would. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, that wasn't a negative confession, but Paul was saying. He was just telling you what was going on at that time. Verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why was that? Because, you know, action speaks louder than words. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right there, you could preach a whole lifetime. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. There's always somebody telling you what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it, and that's none of their business. That has to do with God Almighty. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or matured, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, verse 8 is where I want to get to. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, he wasn't talking about the Jews because they were controlled by the Romans. So he wasn't talking about their princes or their hierarchy. Notice that, because they were completely controlled by the Romans. And he wasn't talking about the Romans because the Romans didn't believe he should be crucified. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. So who was Paul talking about? Satan and his cohorts. This was the revelation that blew him away. They didn't know that till after he resurrected, ascended. And they just couldn't get over that. You got to understand, when Jesus was on the earth, they called him master. And that's kind of a slave mentality. The word master. But when he was ascended, he rose from there, they didn't call him master no more. They called him Lord. You see, and a lot of people want Jesus as Savior, but they don't want him as Lord. You see, and that's a vast difference and a great, great difference between master and Lord. Master controls you. Lord, you said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. What do you want me to do? So when you understand that, so I want to get into this, and I want you to write this down as a point. The resurrection and ascension were the completion of the work which was begun by the incarnation and the sacrifice. Let me say it again. The resurrection and ascension were the completion of the work which was begun by the incarnation and the sacrifice. You got to understand, the resurrection was far greater than the virgin birth. You see, because you see, they could not believe in the virgin birth. There's no way Mary could have a child without knowing a man. But they saw Jesus go up. They had track record of people like Elijah going up and different things. They saw how some people were raised from the dead. Jesus rose raised Lazarus from the dead, then they wanted to kill him again. So there was a track record of being raised from the dead. There's a vast difference between being raised from the dead and being resurrected from the dead. See, when you're raised from the dead, you die again. When you're resurrected from the dead, you never die ever again. Vast difference between the two. You have to understand that. So there was a track record of people being raised from the dead, so they could believe that. That's why they put those guards at his tomb. Not so they lied about it, you know, that so his disciples don't come steal a body. Well, even if they did, what you going to do with a dead body? Jesus is here. No, he just fell on the floor here. Yeah, somebody pick him up. No, it don't work that way. But they could not handle the incarnation. And neither could the devil. See, what Satan couldn't understand, because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. How could God get into a sinful earth? There's no way. Never thinking in their wildest dreams, I'm talking about the devil, that God would send his son. That's the reason why a lot of Jewish people don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because God can't have a son. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So you can understand how religion gets involved in these different things and causes chaos in the intellectual mind. See, so when you understand what's going on, and I want you to see this here, this incarnation, they said, if thou be the Son of God, they knew somebody was coming, but they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. And I'm going to explain something in just a minute. Let me write this point down again. The resurrection and ascension were the completion of the work which was begun by the incarnation and the sacrifice. See, the primary task of revelation is to make you see things revealed. You got to have revelation, revealed knowledge. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, you get understanding. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Everybody knows that complete definition. But see, to be revealed, this is the reason why people were so shocked when the word of faith, quote, came out, because they began to preach by revelation, which causes a lot of intellectual people to say, well, who do you think you are? Everything God says. And you don't question it, you just do it. You see what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, people can't understand prosperity, but they all want it. And if money is so bad, how come you have a hard time giving it away? Because if you ate something bad, you sure would spit it out. So money must not be bad because you sure hold on to it. Retire on it, buy groceries with it, send your kids to college on it, do every kind, buy your wife dresses, your kids, whatever. Doesn't make any difference, you see. But see, you just can't seem to understand. You have to have a revelation of what prosperity is. And I'm going to explain that, and then I'm going to get into this here. I want to get into some deep things here in just a minute. You got to understand, not long ago, I had a Baptist preacher come up to me, and he was really a nice man, you know, and I like the Baptist. I preach in Baptist churches. Make a long story short, he said, you want one of them prosperity healing preachers, aren't you? I said, well, yes, sir. I not only that, I'm a Bible preacher. I preach the whole book. He said, well, I don't believe in healing. I said, well, you hadn't got sick enough yet. I said, you hadn't had a doctor stick his finger in your face. He said, you got pancreatic cancer and you got 2 months. That's it. All of a sudden, somebody like me becomes very popular to you who believes in healing. I said, and another thing you don't have, you don't believe in the cross. Oh, yes, I do. I said, oh, no, you don't. I said, your problem, sir, is you've been kneeling at the foot of the cross for a long time, waiting for some drop of blood from Jesus' head to hit you so it might glorify you a little bit. What are you doing that for? I said, why don't you walk around the cross and find out what's going on? I said, now get up and walk with me. And I mean, I'm saying this, but I was speaking spiritual things, but he would just look. I said, I took him. We're walking like this. I said, walk with me. I want you to go to the back of the cross. You've been to the front of the cross all your life, kneeling down. What are you doing that for? Get behind the cross. What do you see? I took him back. I said, what do you see behind the cross? What is on the back of Jesus? By his stripes, you're healed. You see blood. You see skin ripped off. You got bones showing. I mean, my God, hey, by his stripes, ye were healed. The reason why you don't believe in healing, because you ain't been to the back of the cross. You cannot separate salvation from healing because it's on the cross. Do you see that? I said, look at it. That's cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, infections of every kind. That is what he took that whipping for. Do you understand that? Look at the back of it. He was shocked. He didn't know what to do. I said, keep walking with me. I took him around the other side of the cross, and there they are gambling for Jesus' robe. You don't gamble for rags. You gamble to get something better than what you got. I said, that's prosperity right there. Everybody trying to get that robe so they can make more. See that? Look at that. Don't look at me. Look at that. Because all you ever did was kneel down at the bottom of the cross. Get up. Walk behind the cross and see his back bleeding. And then you'll start believing in healing because you can't separate it. Look at the prosperity right there. Somebody got a pretty good robe, a seamless robe. I said, but I ain't finished yet. Come on. Walk me back to the front. But we're not kneeling down. Let's climb the cross. He said, what? I said, climb the cross. Go see the vision that Jesus is. Get up where Jesus is. And he'll say, go to the world and preach this gospel. Not your opinions about it or your secular understanding of it. Preach this gospel. There, see this. See what he's seeing. My Lord. And he didn't know what to do. He started crying. I said, don't kneel down no more at the cross. Stand up and climb the cross and see what the Lord Jesus Christ is seeing. And go in the world and preach this gospel to every living creature. You see what I'm saying? That's the fullness of the cross all the way around it. He didn't know what to say. I said, your mind's being changed, isn't it? He had tears in him. He didn't know what to say. I never thought of it like that. I said, because you've been kneeling down. And that's good, but that ain't enough. You got to understand the cross perfectly and what happened on that cross. So the primary task of Revelation is to make you see things revealed. If Christ had not been put to death, write this down. If Christ had not been put to death, death would not have died. Write it down. If Christ had not been put to death, death would not have died. Death is dead and an enemy and the last one to be destroyed. Now, what I'm going to say right now is going to shock you. The devil knew Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't know he was the Son of God. Oh, write that down. Don't judge me yet. Don't judge me. The devil knew he was the Messiah, the anointed one that would come. But he did not know he was the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. And even Jesus said, they know not what they do. Jesus said that. So you gonna argue with that? See, the devil recognizes the anointing. That's why he tries to attack it, because he was once an anointed cherub. And the reason why Michael the archangel never rebuked him, he said, the Lord rebuked thee. Why? Because he was once anointed. And that's a very phenomenal thing. And that wasn't Michael the archangel's job to get him straight. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. I'll give you a prime example of that. If you get all the previous presidents, Bill Clinton, who else is out there? Of course, Biden and Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama. Who else? And yeah, George W. Bush. If you see them, people say, they say, Mr. President. They call him Mr. President. And of course, the one that everybody's talking about in the courts today. Mr. President. Now, they were once, they're not president anymore, but they were once president. Satan was once Lucifer. He was once anointed cherub. That's why Michael said, the Lord rebuked thee, not me, because he held that office at one time, just like the presidents do today. Now watch this. Let me say it again. The devil knew he was the Messiah because that's the anointed one in his anointing, but they did not know he was the Son of God. Because how can he get, he couldn't look at Jesus on the cross because God can't look at sin. They just never thought God was sin himself. They didn't believe in the virgin birth. In fact, if you go through the three temptations, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son, do something I can see, turn that stone into bread. Now, boy, if he turned that rock into bread, that's got to be the Son of God. Now, Jesus could have turned the whole mountain into a loaf of bread with a log of butter running down the valley. What did he say? No. Now, if he can say no, why can't you say no? Because Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. No, I'm not going to do that. No. If you want to freak out the United States of America, the government, just say no. Woo, that shakes them up. See, they forgot that we are the people. We are the government. We the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union. We say we tend to forget that. You see what I'm saying? So they knew him as the Messiah. Oh, yeah, he's anointed because there ain't no way he could do these miracles. But I don't know if he's the Son of God. I just can't quite understand that. And they didn't. And that's what Paul said. He said, if we'd have known, we'd have never crucified him. The revelation that destroyed his plan, from that day forward, he's been trying to play catch up. And just being destroyed in every which way, shape, and form. He's killed a lot of people who he thought would crush his head. But someone else would pop up. After a while, he got used to people coming in as prophets and things of that nature. You see what I'm saying? But he said, there's no way God can, he can't walk among sin. See, the Trinity, you got to understand the Trinity. And I saw it when I went to heaven. It's one of the most amazing things to see how that is you got to understand something about Jesus Christ. He's the only part of God that touched sin. The Father has no idea, no concept of sin. He cannot even look. He turned his back when Jesus, our sin was upon him on the cross. The Holy Spirit, no, too pure. That's why if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no remission of sin. You know why Satan couldn't be forgiven? I had a person ask me that the other day. Well, you know, God forgives it, but why didn't he forgive the devil? Because he willfully sinned. What? He willfully sinned. The Bible said, if you willfully sin, there remain no remission of sin for you. One time I was praying, I said, well, Lord, I willfully sinned. He said, no, you haven't. I said, I think I have. Maybe you was across town, but he said, no, you haven't. I said, I think I did, Lord. I'm arguing with God. He said, no, you've never sinned by yourself. I said, I've never sinned by myself. He said, no, never did. The Bible said, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, right? When sin hath conceived or finished, it bringeth forth death. So there are consequences for everything that you do. He said, you see, I said, what do you mean? He said, you've never sinned by yourself. You had a tempter pulling you. Satan did not. No tempter. He said, I will exalt myself above the Most High God. I will sit in the congregation of the north. Ah, and when he sinned, he was not in heaven. He was on the earth. I will ascend into heaven. He wanted that Shekinah back. That when he would do this, the beauty. But no, see, he didn't have a tempter. It's like a child. If a baby walks around your coffee table, just learn and grab something, knock something over, that's a baby. But if your 18-year-old son comes and kicks it off the table, you say, come here, boy. Why? Because he willfully sinned. The baby was tempted. Do you see that? So the devil knew he was the Messiah, but not the Son of God. Think about that for a minute. That's why he knows where you are, because of the anointing that's on your life. He desires that anointing. You ever notice that some churches never get attacked because they have no anointing? They have no anointing whatsoever. Leave them alone. They'll go to hell by themselves. We ain't got to worry about them. It's the ones that are anointed. You see, but if you don't go by what you feel, but go by what you believe, it won't make no difference what they say or what they do.
Thank you for watching today. I want to tell you about our April partner offer. It's titled The Revelation That Destroyed Satan's Plan. You know, the enemy knew that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but he didn't know he was the Son of God. Oh, and I'll prove that to you in that word. The Bible says that if Satan had known, he'd have never crucified him. Isn't that great? There's great revelation in this message. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
Are you ready to revive your spiritual life? My book, The Power of Prayer, is loaded with personal stories and biblically based principles that will equip you to start enjoying the abundant life Jesus died to give to you. You can tap into a clear line of communication with God that will reveal His plan for your life. Never underestimate the power of your faith-filled prayers to unlock the gates of heaven and provide for your victory. The Power of Prayer. Order your copy at jdm.org.
Did you learn something today? It amazes me how Jesus was revealed, yet Satan didn't know it. He never thought that God would send His only begotten Son to die for us. But think about that. If Christ had not come and been put to death, then death would not have died. I hope today's message blessed you like it blessed me. I believe it did. I tell you, this is a great message, not because I preach it, because there's revelation in it. Hey, I have a great question I want to answer on today's program. A man named Sam wrote to me and said, Brother Jesse, I struggle with anger often. I understand, Sam. I try to control myself, but I end up failing and explode in hurtful ways. How do I make the fruit of the Spirit, especially self-control and gentleness, real in my life? That's not an easy thing, Sam, and I know what you're saying. But you see, you don't let yourself control you. You have to learn to harden yourself against yourself. Let Christ in you, the hope of glory, help you. Let me give you a prime example. You start to feel that anger rise up in you. We call it Tabasco sauce in South Louisiana. It's starting to get heat. You know, start, lift your hands up and praise God. I don't care where you are. Start praying. And if you're a Pentecostal, start praying in tongues. It'll shut that anger down. Why? Because now you're controlling it instead of it controlling you. Sam, it will work because I've had the same problems with my anger. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And how do you do that? You start praying once you feel it, because you don't want to hurt people. And I understand that. You start praying, I don't care where you are, and watch God do a miracle in your life. It will work, Sam. Hey, this month's product offer is Kathy's book. I like it, The Power of Prayer. If you want to see your prayers answered, and I know you do, you need to read this book. Jesus taught us how important prayer is, right? Because prayer is the language of God. It's your lifeline of communication with God Almighty. Go to JDM and get your copy today. JDM.org. All the information, it will bless you. Partners, thank you. Thank you. Nothing too small and nothing too big. Every dollar you send goes into world evangelism because we're debt-free. I said that last week. I'm excited about that. And I tell you what, God is so good. We got great projects going on right now, even as I speak. And we do everything cash. Why? We don't want to pay the devil nothing. Hallelujah. Give everything you give, we send it to God's work. Thank you for being a blessing, partners. Till next week, Jesse the Planner saying, I love you. I really do. See ya. Bye-bye.
Jesus said he could change a nation in a day. We can preach to the world today. 7.8 billion people in 7 minutes. A time has come.
We have a job to do, a vision to fulfill.
We're believing God for the unbelievable, the impossible, simply because it's doable.
He said, now, the uttermost parts of the world are yours. Go.
Every little thing that I can give him opportunity to expand, I will.
He's looking for people that are bold enough to step up and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me.
Come on. Hallelujah.
The only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Now, let's show the world who he really is.
Life-changing. I mean, Brother Jesse just always brings an amazing word.
There's such a connection when you come here.
This is our personal time just to get vision.
Visionary conference full of faith, full of hope.
Come expecting, because your expectancy will be increased.
Don't miss Jesse DePlanis 2025 Visionary Conference, July 10th and 11th at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana.
Did you know angels are real and many of them are here today? God's word is full of supernatural experiences by people just like you and me. Order your copy today at jdm.org.
Loving Jesus with the heart changes people, saves people, and remakes people. It does three things. I mean, they said, boy, that boy's a Christian. There's just something wonderful about that individual. Why? Because they made a decision of the heart to believe unto righteousness instead of believing with the head.